Welcome back to our studies in this quarter of our Sabbath School lessons titled Three Cosmic Messages. The book of Revelation is a book of contrasts. There's the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and the dragon, Satan. There's New Jerusalem from above, the city of God, and Babylon, the city of confusion. There's the mark of the beast and the seal of God. There are two harvests, the harvest of gory grapes and the harvest of golden grain. Throughout the book of Revelation, we see brought into clear focus the great controversy between Christ and Satan. And this great controversy is over worship. In this week's lesson, we look at the title of the lesson is A City Called Confusion. And it presents this conflict over worship in clear terms. There's a picture given of two women, the woman in white, dazzling brightness of Christ in Revelation chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and the woman dressed in scarlet in Revelation chapter 17. These two women represent two ways of life, two ideologies, two philosophies, two systems of religion. The bride of Christ is faithful to Jesus Christ. Her heart and mind and her affections are anchored in Jesus. All she wants to do is please her lover, Jesus Christ. So the church, pictured as this beautiful bride committed to Christ. There's another picture, though, in Revelation chapter 17 of a scarlet woman all decked out in gold and pearls. She rides on a scarlet-colored beast. This woman does not look to Jesus for her direction. Her goal is not to please Jesus. She's united with the kings of the earth and the merchants of the earth. So this Sabbath School's lesson, A City Called Confusion, shows the contrast between the two women. The one that is united totally, absolutely, completely to Christ, and the one that is totally dedicated to another system, the one that looks for power, prestige, aggrandizement, the one that is united to the world and the merchants of the world. This war between good and evil, Christ and Satan, comes to its final fruition in the last days of Earth's history. We read about this in Revelation 12, verse 17. The dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring, or the remnant of her seed, as the King James Version says, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the dragon, Satan, is enraged or angry with the woman, the pure woman decked out in white, dazzling brightness. The devil is angry with God's church, and he makes war with those who keep the commandments of God. In Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, we read the outcome of this war. Now notice, we're going to look at verse 13 and 14 in Revelation 17. These are of one mind. Now who's of one mind? The spiritual powers, the fallen spiritual powers, that is Babylon, apostate religion, the kings of the earth, that's the political powers, the merchants of the earth, that's the economic powers. So here you have religious and political and economic powers that have all united. These are of one mind. What do? They give their power and authority to the beast power. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. How are we called? Christ calls every one of us. Those that respond to that call are chosen by God to be witnesses for him in this final generation. And he empowers them to be faithful in the most difficult times. But look, there's this battle, this struggle, but it says the Lamb, Jesus Christ, will overcome them. He overcomes the principalities and powers of hell. He overcomes the forces of evil. Now let's pause for a few moments and look at some of the issues in Monday's lesson. Monday's lesson is entitled The Wine of the Wrath. And in Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, it talks about the fact that this woman is pictured as being riding on a scarlet-colored beast. It says the kings of the earth, verse 2, have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth are drunk with the wine of her fornication. So what is fornication? It's an illicit union. The bride of Christ in Revelation 12 is committed to Christ. She's faithful as she to her true lover. The woman in Revelation 17 commits fornication with the kings of the earth. What does that mean? It means she has an illicit union and looks to the kings and political powers and the merchants of the earth to receive power. Now, notice something else. It says that she passes around her wine cup. It says the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. What does wine represent in the Bible? Wine affects the forebrain. It affects conscience, reason, and judgment. So here it is talking about the intoxication of false doctrine that the devil uses to deceive. The devil is pictured in the Bible as a serpent because he deceives and a dragon because he destroys. He deceives those whom he will destroy and destroys those whom he will deceive. So the wine cup represents false doctrine. So this woman, fallen religion, riding on a scarlet-colored beast, controlling and dominating over the kings of the political powers of the earth, has a wine cup that she passes around, intoxicating people with their false doctrines. The false doctrine of Sunday worship, the false doctrine of the immortality of the soul, the false doctrine of depending on works for righteousness rather than Jesus Christ, the false doctrine of the idea of the rapture rather than the literal second coming of Christ. In this description in Revelation 17, we read something. It says in verse 5, and on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. What is the significance that Mystery Babylon the Great is written on her forehead? Babylon, the ancient city of Babylon, was long destroyed when John wrote this. Babylon ruled the world from 605 to 538 BC, before Christ. Babylon was destroyed by the Medes and Persians, according to the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah, never to be rebuilt again, to be desolate. When John writes, he writes hundreds of years, centuries after 538 AD, he writes in the end of the first century in 95 AD, or thereabouts. So there's, 600 years later, Babylon's been destroyed. What does it mean, Mystery Babylon the Great? That a religious political power would arise that would have the characteristics of ancient Babylon brought into the Christian church. Well, what are some of the characteristics of ancient Babylon? What were they like? Well, one of those characteristics we find in Thursday's lesson. Babylon was the center of idolatry. You read that in Jeremiah 50, verses 33 to 38, in Jeremiah 51, verses 17 and 47. So Babylon is a man-made system of religion that wars against the Church of Christ, and it is a system in which idols and images play an important part of its worship. In ancient Babylon, there were at least 13 major gods. One of the major gods was Bel-Marduk, the sun god. And so Babylon would be a system of religious apostasy that brings images into the Christian church as objects of worship. And any time you have an image as an object of worship, it limits your conception of God. The image can take the holiness that belongs to God and God alone. So one of the characteristics of Babylon is that it's a man-made system of religion. It is a system that emphasizes the union with political and economic powers. It's a system that incorporates images that are brought into the church. In other words, it's an apostate religious system. At the end of the lesson of this week, we read, and this is from the book, Great Controversy, page 383, by Ellen White. The message of Revelation 14 announcing the fall of Babylon must apply to religious bodies that were once pure and have become corrupt. Since this message follows the warning of the judgment, it must be given in the last days. Therefore, it cannot refer to the Roman Church alone, for that church has been in fallen condition for many centuries. Let me explain this. You have the first angel's message, the gospel going to the ends of the earth, God's call to fear God and give glory to Him. Reverence God, respect God, give Him glory in the way you live. Fearing God has to do with what you think. Giving glory to God has to do with how you live, your lifestyle. All of this is done in the light of the judgment hour, that we're living in the judgment hour. And there's a call to worship the Creator. But then there's an announcement that goes forth that says, Babylon is fallen. Come out of her, my people. What does it mean that Babylon is fallen? Babylon has rejected the message of the first angel. Babylon has passed around her wine cup of false doctrine, saying obedience is unnecessary, saying that the law of God, to keep it, is legalism, saying that it doesn't make any difference what you eat or drink. Babylon is false religion, denying the reality of worshiping the Creator on the Sabbath and substituting the first day of the week, Sunday. Babylon is fallen. The term Babylon represents the Roman Church, but it also represents something much more. It says Babylon, the mother of harlots. So Babylon embraces all of false religion. It embraces all of those religious philosophies that are not in harmony with God's will. All of those religious philosophies that substitute man-made teachings for the teachings of God. So the question is, how do I keep from being deceived by the wine of Babylon? Jesus gives the answer, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy word is truth. The appeal of Christ in the last days of earth's history and the appeal of this lesson is to fill your heart and mind with the word of God. Jeremiah 15, 16 says, thy words were found and I did eat them. They were joy and rejoicing to my heart. Feast on the word of God. Fill your mind on the word of God and the living Christ will change your life and prepare you for the crisis ahead, and you will be taken through that crisis and be prepared for the coming of Jesus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you with all of our hearts for Jesus. We thank you for his love, his grace, his goodness. We thank you for the opportunity to serve him. We thank you for the truth of his word and the messages of the three angels to prepare us for the coming of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.